they're missing. And it's not because of anything other than this, because they've done this. They know the fundamentals. They have the technique. It's so ingrained in them, they should be able to do it. And it's only because of the mental pressure that they tend to miss. It's sometimes it might be because they're pushing too hard, right? But not like on the first serve of the game. Simple things. So we definitely incorporated like pressure serving, and the girls will hate it. But at the same time, they totally get it and they understand. And when they get it and they succeed in the drill, where they get it like on the first try, the level of confidence that they get is fantastic.
Welcome to the Clutch Academy, where we feature elite coaches who show us how they develop athletes who are confident, calm, and clutch, and ready to perform when it counts. We discuss practice strategies, in-game management, leadership, character development, and mental resilience, the exact strategies that they're using currently to help their athletes succeed on and off the field. This show is brought to you by Confident, Calm, and Clutch Coaches. If you have elite athletes who want to compete at the highest levels and you're looking for the extra edge, there is a little known tactic that has taken average high school athletes and turned them into elite Division I college contenders with scholarships. And it has nothing to do with how you physically practice. It has three simple adjustments that happen 100% between the ears. To learn more about the science-based process, also used by the military, go to www.confidentcalmclutch.com/coaches. All right, y'all. Today we are chatting with Laura Watling. And she's a volleyball coach. And Laura, welcome. Thank you for being here. Can you tell us a little bit about yourself, your coaching history?
For sure. Thanks for having me.
Okay.
I have been a volleyball coach at the high school level, varsity, really for my entire career, for 25 years. It'll be going into my 26th season of varsity competition, which is kind of crazy because I don't think of myself as that old. And I've also done club coaching along the way, mostly high school, 15s, 16s, and some 17s.
Awesome.
Predominantly.
Okay. Awesome. Thank you. So I'd love to hear from your perspective of what it means for an athlete to be confident, calm, and clutch. What does that mean to you? And as a coach, how does that...
Sure.
How do you use that?
Yeah. Really, isn't that's what every coach wants for their athletes, to be confident and clutch and calm under pressure. And it's hard because, especially in high school, we don't have that much time with our athletes, really, to develop those things. Our season is maybe 3 months. And so... within that span, sure, I see them almost every day, but they're doing school, they have lives, and then they're coming to practice. And so for me, a lot of what I'm trying to look for and hope is that whatever else is going on in their lives, they leave it at the door, because especially with teenage girls, they bring a lot of that energy from the day, from their lives, into the game and the practice. And they can tend to let that affect them with their confidence, with their ability to stay calm. And it's not always that they doubt their abilities. I think a lot of them know they can do it, especially when I'm at the varsity level. I'm only taking the top athletes of the program, so they already have to have something in there that says, all right, I'm good enough to play varsity, right? I was chosen, so I should be able to do this. But there is all of that happening up there, and trying to get them to release that and own who they are and what their ability is without letting all that other stuff get in the way can be really difficult, for sure. So looking for athletes who have that strength of character. I don't really know how else to phrase it, where they can see the difference and separate. This isn't me. This might be affecting me, but I'm still a confident athlete and I can perform without all of that other noise affecting my gameplay and who I am.
Yeah. And I mean, so, it's great if they already have that. Mm-hmm. But yeah. What are some of the things that you've found when they don't? Like, how are you attempting to coach it up? How are you attempting to get them closer to that?
I'd say we started practice. Actually, we started over the summer, really, when we're doing open gyms and camps, trying to get them to just have those conversations and find out what's going on in their lives, get to know them as a person so that when it does come time and they are starting to doubt themselves, then we can have that connection and kind of try to bring them back in a way that works for them and knowing who they are. I like to get to know what their strengths are as soon as possible. So every day in practice, we can reinforce, like, here's what's really good. Here's what you're doing well. These are the things you need to work on. And if the more you can still make them feel supported in what they do well, but then be able to push them in those areas where they need to grow. If you have that relationship, it doesn't affect their confidence as much, right? You're not like tearing them down and saying, you're not good enough. It's no, you're great at this and this particular thing. And that's why I brought you here, because you can do all the right stuff. What I need you to get better at is this. So keep doing this, but now let's work on this part of your game. And usually, if you have those relationships in place, it works really well and it doesn't deflate them so much when it comes to their ego and how they perform. And the more you can do that as well, it starts to keep them as well calm under pressure.
Yeah.
Right. This past year, I definitely had some major problems with performing under pressure. My team just, they were pretty young. And even for those seniors I did have, a lot of them did not have big game experience. And it's like they didn't know. They didn't understand how to keep pushing when things were tough.
Okay.
And so they just settled in. And it caught on. And so everybody on the team started to just sink into that pressure. And when I would ask them, why? You guys were doing so well the first set. Then what happened? It's like, it just clicked and they lost all motivation. They couldn't figure out how to perform. And they're like, it's the pressure. And I was like, really? Oh no. I get it, but that's inherent. That's a part of the game. Like, I don't want to put pressure on them to be perfect, but they have to feel that pressure because you only have so many points to get it done.
Yeah.
And so I learned that as much as you would hope that some of the girls come into varsity even as seniors, understanding that, they don't. And so I'm reworking some stuff for these next season.
Okay. Yeah, because a couple of things I'm hearing that are so great. One, this idea of it starts with the relationship with the athletes, especially for teenagers in particular. Right? They have to know that you care before they care what you know. If they don't feel supported, it's really hard to take criticism. It's hard to, as a coach, push hard if they're taking it personally, right? But if they know that baseline is, I care about you, I value you, you're here for a reason, it makes it easier as a coach to have those harder conversations or to push when you need to. So that's great. That's the foundation, right? This is the relationship first. But to this idea of pressure, I have found it surprising. Maybe it was a little bit different. I'm in my 40s this day and age, and when I was growing up playing, I don't know. I don't think I understood pressure situations, but I don't know that I had as much pressure on the game. I feel like kids have internalized games meaning so much more than they ever have in the past. They're creating pressure that even doesn't need to be there, doesn't exist, really.
Yeah. I believe that. It's a different generation. And as much as it pains me to always go to this, I really do think this social media and the ability for people to post always their best and what it looks like when people are doing really well and then peak performance mode, and then it's being fed to our teenagers, especially girls, who see this and they're like, oh my gosh, that girl is younger than me and she's hitting harder than me. Why can I not do that? Oh, look at that team. I'm never going to be that good. Oh, look at them winning all the time. And they think that it has to look like that consistently. And I'm like, it doesn't. It totally doesn't. And I'm like, it has to get ugly before it can get pretty. You got to be in the trenches, and it's going to take time and effort and work and like constant push of yourself to know, one, you may never get to be like that person you just saw in a video, and that's okay. That doesn't mean you're not good in your own way.
Yeah.
Like, comparison is the thief of joy. I had to tell that to the girls all the time because they live in a world of comparison, and that comparison is inherently full of pressure to feel like I have to perform and be a certain way. And at least where I live now and where I'm coaching now in Colorado, there is pressure in that for varsity, in order to make the postseason, like, you have to have a good record. You can't even play for a championship if you don't qualify based upon your regular season games and RPI. It's very much college-like, which I hate because it's high school.
I win my conference, I get to go, something along those lines. Yeah,
it pretty much. And I was like, but if your conference is weak and you don't have a strong RPI, and if you maybe take second in conference, you might be totally out of the picture, and it stinks. So there's also this pressure that kind of comes with us, like, you have to be on from day one. Like, every win does matter. And as much as I would like to say, hey, it's okay, we can build up and get there over time, but we don't have the luxury of that right now where we are in this state and for that. So trying to put all of that, I don't want to say pressure, but instilling in them that there will be pressure and it's okay to make mistakes, but you have to figure it out when it matters, and trying to get them there before the season really even gets underway.
Yeah.
That's hard.
Huh.
But that's something I've had to figure out as I've come out here to do some coaching. It's been a little bit different in that way.
Okay. So what are you currently doing? What's worked to this point to get them in that summer workouts, so that when they show up for the first actual game in the season, they're mostly ready. I'm sure they're not going to be in top form. No team will be. But
no, they're not mostly. They're getting there, right? Like, we have about, once we do tryouts, we probably have about a week and a half, and then it's go. Over the summer, I've definitely put into place a lot more opportunities, and we can't require them to do anything. And I tell them, like, have a life. I don't want them to pour everything they have into this, because this should not be your identity. This should be something that you do because you enjoy it and you find the joy in it, not because this is who you are. And for so many girls, that's what they think it has to be. Like, who am I if I'm not a volleyball player? You're still you. You have all these great qualities. And so trying to, again, it's like building the relationships over the summer, especially with the new kids that are coming in. But then we've run a lot more with camps and open gyms so that we can get to know the kids, but we can also start to instill those philosophies that we do in practices and in regular season, especially during camp, of we're going to push you now. We're going to see, like test you and see what you got so that when tryouts come, you're not as nervous. And then when game time come, you don't feel as much, because really we want to just get them in and start figuring lineups out and go. So we try to really push them at camps, and camps are like 2 weeks before the season starts. So it's like pretty close in timeline to get them already thinking in that mindset. And another part that I want to make sure I don't leave out is that it's been a process, but trying to build a culture.
Yeah.
So that people understand when they come in to this program, they're part of something else. It's part of a, I don't want to say family to be cheesy, but like we're trying to grow something.
Yeah. Right?
So that we're all in this together. And it's not just only varsity. Like we have three teams. We want to grow everybody in the program. We want to see everyone succeeding. We're there to support one another, but we're going to push each other. We're not going to necessarily compete. We're going to cheer each other on, lift each other up, but we're going to like all do this together and put in the work together. And that way the young kids see what the older kids are doing and that comes to be expected. And the older kids are like trying to model and bring up the young ones because they know that someday like it's their turn. And it's hopefully this cycle, and building that culture has been really fun to see, because then that also gets them ready for, okay, we're in season now. We understand we have our spots, but like we're all in this together.
Yeah, nice. And so yeah, I love that, so that you're using the culture.
You're using the culture
that maybe you didn't have initially when you got to the school because you had to build it. But now that it's been hopefully there for a little bit, the culture does some of the work for you, that, you know, the varsity folks are helping push the JV, the JV is helping push the freshmen or whatever teams, that even the JV is like, okay, well, we're going to play against our big sisters. We're going to push it or do our best. You know, we might get our butt kicked or we might not, but we're coming at you, big sisters. And the little, like, that healthy,
yeah,
I don't know, competition that helps.
Healthy competition, yeah.
Yeah.
Like, it's okay to have that and instill in them the fight and the competition and the want to, like, kick the next level's butt and, like, be on it. But then at the end of the day, give them a hug. Shake their hand and be like, that was great. That was great. I'm going to get you next time.
Like, yeah.
That kind of stuff, it's fun to watch and see that happen. I actually, when I came out here, the school that I'm at was brand new. So I'm the only coach that they've had. So I literally, this was a very cool challenge for me to see if I could take a program and quite literally build it from nothing.
The ground up, yeah.
Into something. And so when we started, it was just even freshmen and sophomores. We didn't even have older kids at the school. So that was a very difficult journey for the first couple, because you don't have leaders. You don't have young, like, people to just take them under. They didn't know what it's like to be a varsity athlete. So trying to teach them that, but now to see where we've grown to, we just completed year 8. This will be year 9 that we're going into, and seeing how far we've come and now kind of what the norm is for kids coming in and how many kids we have coming out to try to be a part of it. That is really cool. And it's been fun. Like, we're still not there. I still got more I want to do, but it's been a great thing to see that we have that competitive spirit and the culture is definitely like there now. And I love to see that.
Yeah, that's great. So are there other things? I know you've spoken a lot to your girls dealing with pressure, and just recently they had a rough bout. But are there things that you do deliberately once you get into practices and you're in the grind of the season? Are there things you do deliberately at practice to help develop either their confidence or their ability to stay calm? Are there things you're embedding?
Yeah. Sure. We definitely put into play in almost in every practice type of pressure, warm up, serving, usually serving.
Yeah.
Because that's an easy way to get them going. It's something that everybody does, regardless of your position. And having them all in it together, we started doing that for pressure and also to make sure that they could stay calm and understand what we want of them when it comes to serving and like that skill within the game. And doing that every day, honestly, oh, like it changed because it's such a fundamental part of the game. But the amount of kids who miss their serves, and I know this is sports specific, but
sure,
it could really be for anything, like a basic fundamental skill of the game, where if you don't make it, like you're automatically giving the other team a point.
Right. Yeah, it's the start of the point of the rally.
It's the whole thing. And so you have to be able to put a ball in bounds. You have to. And as simple as it is, especially by the time you get to varsity, you've served thousands of balls in your life. And yet kids are still letting this get to them.
Yeah.
They're missing. And it's not because of anything other than this, because they've done this. They know the fundamentals. They have the technique. It's so ingrained in them, they should be able to do it. And it's only because of the mental pressure that they tend to miss. It's sometimes it might be because they're pushing too hard, right? But not like on the first serve of the game. Simple things. So we definitely incorporated like pressure serving. And the girls will hate it, but at the same time, they totally get it and they understand. And when they get it and they succeed in the drill, where they get it like on the first try, the level of confidence that they get is fantastic. And we'll do that with other drills or game-like scenarios throughout practice, where we continually try to put them in situations of like, all right, we have a goal. We need to meet this goal. And if we don't do it, we're going to do it again. Only under more pressure, you're going to be more tired. We're going to make you guys run before you do it. Something
yeah.
so that it feels even more difficult. Getting them in this concept of, I need to push myself. And we're going to be hard on you here. So then, and we're going to play faster than we need to play. I've also found that works really well. When we're in drills, I try to keep the tempo ridiculously fast. Faster than would be in a game, because in a game you have lots of stop and start and you have downtime where you can breathe.
Yeah.
Like let it settle. But I'm like, if we play so fast here and get used to this, oh, it's going to feel so slow in the game. You're going to feel under control. You can take a breath. Like you don't have to think, like you'll have time to think a little bit more. And so I'm just like, I'm going to push you guys now, so that when it comes time to do it later, it doesn't feel like such a big deal.
Yeah.
The weight isn't so heavy. Yes, you might have more eyes on you and more people watching, but really it's the same thing, right? It's the same exact process, but even slower.
Yeah.
So some of those things I've like the scenarios and stuff have been very helpful to get them better.
Yeah, it's almost that John Wooden approach. I'm going to make practices so hard that the games feel easy and fun.
And fun.
It's structured hard, right? Not just hard for the sake of hard, but...
Yes, yeah. Like, I've never been a fan of just running for the sake of running, especially in a sport that doesn't necessarily require, like, running. I was like, we need to be conditioned, but I'm not going to just make you run to run. But sometimes I want you to have to do it so that it puts certain level of pressure and physical aspect that you might not have to feel otherwise. And now you have to perform and see how it does. Yeah.
Yeah. Just like I imagine, do you tell them you're doing that? Like, here's why we're doing this. Because,
I don't always at first. Sometimes I do. Sometimes I'll say, here's what we're going to do. And this is why. And this is what we saw in the game last night. And so this is why we're going to do this drill today. And they usually get that pretty early on. But sometimes I won't, especially early in the season. I might just be like, we're doing this. And then they do it and they're like, coach, why? And they're like, why? are we doing this? I'm like, let's do it one more time. And then you can tell me. We'll start to, and then having them start to also maybe rationalize in their head, like, oh,
why do you think we're doing it?
Oh, and they start to ask it, everybody else. And I get it now. Okay. So then, because I also want them to feel empowered to think.
Yeah.
One of the things that I believe in as a coach is that I want my players to be confident and knowledgeable enough about their game and the team around them that when a situation in an actual match arises, they don't have to look to me for all the answers. I don't like coaches that overcoach, if that makes sense. It's not that that's their method, but that's never been me. I'm just like to sit back, watch them, and when I see something, I'll step up and be like, hey, these are the little adjustments we need to make, but I'm not going to be in every point of every single game standing and pacing and like telling them what to do.
Yeah.
Because they should have some of that ability. And I suppose that also goes to leadership, right? Like you have the confidence to know what you can do and run the plays because we've done it and I've told you and you get it at this point.
Yeah.
But see who steps up, right? And that also shows you who those leaders are, and they can take it under themselves and make those plays, and then we can celebrate it and give them ideas.
Yeah, nice. And so I love that
those figured out moments
are intentional. You're like, I'm not telling you what we're doing or why we're doing it. I'm just going to wait till it starts falling into place. See what we're going to.
Especially in this generation, it has changed in the last 10 years. Like 10 years ago when I coached, I didn't always have to explain as much. A lot of times girls started to just do it and it would figure it out and work through it. Now the generation is just different, where they're in that instant gratification. Like, I need to know the answers right now. Because I can always get the answers right now. What do you mean I have to wait and figure it out and watch and get what? No, tell me.
Yeah. No, because when you get out into real world, you're going to have to think for yourself. And I'm trying to teach you how to think for yourself.
Think for yourself. Yeah. You don't need me to tell you all the stuff to do. They'll be like, coach, what is it? I'm like, you know. You totally know. And that's honestly one of my favorite parts is watching it click with them. Like in game, they're like, oh.
That thing you've been telling me for 3 weeks?
Right. I got it. Yeah. I know exactly what it is now. I fixed it, coach. I got it.
Yeah. Like, well, and there's actually research on this and when giving feedback is that in coaching science and all that too, that as a coach, if you always step in to provide the answer, they don't learn. They don't know how to learn without you there. They don't know how to find answers without you there. So even when they're home working drills on their own, it might be less productive because they don't know how that reflective practice is like, okay, what just happened? Was it working? Was it not? What would I tweak? Whereas when a coach is the one that always gives the correction, always gives the answer, it they can't autonomously learn on their own. They don't have that skill transfer as well. Whereas if, and I'm not saying as a coach, there's times where you got to step in and be like, hey, do X, Y, Z. It's like, okay, got it. But instead, coaches who are like, okay, this is happening. What do you guys think? What needs to get fixed?
Yeah.
And let the athletes work through it. And you're teaching them about the game and how to think critically about the game, but you're also teaching them how to learn so that when they're in context where, hey, we're out of timeouts. Coach can't, like, sorry, you guys got to figure it out there. We've got to stop the bleeding or figure out how to adjust to this hitter who is crushing us right now. So I love this idea of creating a community of coaches. And if you're in a high school situation like Laura, where there is JV varsity, maybe some other teams that you're all working together, that's great. Some of you listening might be club teams or travel teams, that type of thing. And there may or may not be a feeder program into it, but regardless, coaching is a skill set, is a profession, right? And so even if you can get a community of coaches together, then it doesn't even have to be your sport, but dealing with the people and dealing with young people and the act of just having a sounding board for somebody to say, hey, I'm dealing with this issue. How are you guys, like, how's that showing up for you? Like, that community of practice can be really powerful as an opportunity, which is part of what I'm trying to do with this podcast. Get some of y'all connected so we can create a community of coaches, four coaches. But awesome. All right. Thank you again, Laura, so much for joining me today and sharing your approach. And I just want to say for everybody listening one more time that if you want to give your athletes a science-backed process to teach them next level without changing anything about your physical practices and training routine, you need some ideas of how to embed some of these mental tools, mindset training that Laura was speaking about, please go to www.confidentcalmclutch.com/coaches for some resources for you that you could utilize as coaches. So thank you again. I'm Valerie Alston. Thanks for listening.